Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meal at a Houston restaurant you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is the owner of Heights Grocer and Montrose Grocer, Mary Clarkson. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Howdy. I am so happy to be here today. Thank you for having me, as always.
Thank you for doing this. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, Houston chefs and restaurants netted a very impressive 6 James Beard Award finalist nominations. Let's give everybody their flowers. They are Adrian Torres at Maximo for Emerging Chef, Agnes and Sherman for Best New Restaurant, June Rodill of Goodnight Hospitality for Outstanding Professional and Beverage Service, Hugo Ortega and Tracy Vaught of H-Town Restaurant Group for Outstanding Restaurateur, and then 2 finalists for Best Chef Texas. The first is Ope Amosu of Chop and Block, and the second is Evelyn Garcia and Henry Liu for June. And I am proud to say, oh no, it's almost a clean sweep. 5 out of 6 have been on the podcast in the last year. Still working Agnes and Sherman. I'll have to get Nick and Lisa on the show at some point soon. Also giving flowers to the Southern Smoke Foundation, which has received an Impact Award, which is defined as recognizing achievements by individuals and or organizations who are actively working to push for standards to create a more equitable, sustainable, and economically viable restaurant industry and food system for producers, workers, and consumers alike. So big congrats to Lindsay Brown, Chris Shepard, and the whole Southern Smoke team on that. Now, Mary, obviously, we're excited for everybody. We are pro Houston getting the recognition that it deserves from national awards like the James Beards. But is there one person on the list that you are particularly excited for?
Ooh, it is a very compelling lineup for sure. I think for me, I have been most impressed with Adrian Torres from Maximo. That was a sleeper for me. I was just kind of bowled over and so impressed by his food. What he's making is so exciting. It's so fresh and really compelling argument for him. He's a young chef. I love it when these younger chefs get recognition, and the whole team under the umbrella of, you know, Benji, Local Foods, Milton's, Lee's, all of that. Everything they produce is top notch. This is a restaurant I think maybe still a lot of people haven't been to just because it's tucked into West University. It's kind of hidden if you don't know about it, but I've loved eating here and very, very compelling.
No, I mean, I completely agree, and it's well said. I will say you and I were both big fans of Maximo's former iteration as El Topo. You know, Tony Lerman, the chef, was a friend of ours and really appreciated everything that he was trying to do there. And so when Local Foods Group made that decision that Tony's going to step aside, we're going to elevate Adrian, this young, I think he was 27 at the time, year-old chef, and make him the executive chef and make the restaurant like more fine dining, kind of more in line with, you know, let's say Belly of the Beast or even Totemo, and like really push this as a destination. It's not that I didn't think that they could do it, because as you said, we're fans of Milton's and Lee's and Local Foods, but it was a little bit like, you're going to have to prove it to me. And Adrian stepped up and Maximo is fantastic. And I was so delighted to see him get this. You know, the one other one for me, and I've talked about this on the show quite a bit, is, you know, Ope Amosu from Chop and Block. You know, I've been on this journey with Chop and Block for a long time. I remember when he was literally doing pop-ups in the community rooms of apartment complexes. And to see that concept evolve from pop-up to food hall to this beautiful restaurant in Montrose, and to just see him get more and more regional recognition, national recognition, New York Times, James Beard, everything else, it's just so gratifying. And it really just tells you everything you need to know about how hard Ope has worked to build Chop and Block and to turn it into what it is. And I'm sure that this kind of acclaim is going to power the growth of that restaurant. Like I would not be surprised to see him opening Chop and Blocks in other cities in Texas or even other cities around the country, because it's so compelling and it's been so successful. And I really just think, you know, I would, you know, I don't know as much about the other nominees for Best Chef Texas, right? They're in kind of far flung places, but I'd be very delighted for Ope if he won this, because it really is like the right restaurant at the right time, I think, for a lot of people.
He did. I happened to be at Josephine's last week, and he was doing a pop-up there in the back courtyard patio, and they were doing two seatings of it or whatever, and it was sold out, and people were so excited to, you know, try that collab. And I just think his food is exciting, and a lot of other chefs want to work with him, and there's nothing exactly quite like this. And so I think it being replicated, you know, is a possibility, but man, does he have a hit on him with what he currently has.
No, absolutely. All right. And then with the acknowledgement that everyone is qualified and everyone deserves to win, do you have a favorite of the Houston nominees? Who do you think is most likely to be called on stage to get a medallion around their neck at the award ceremony in Chicago in June?
I mean, I'm still going to stick with Adrian as like my hope. I think Agnes and Sherman, though, for Best New Restaurant is a very strong contender as well.
You know, I am really excited for Adrian, but I am going to say that EJ Lagasse, who got 2 Michelin stars for Emerald in New Orleans, is the favorite in that emerging chef category. I mean, look, I'm not saying that Adrian's food isn't delicious and worthy of this recognition, but New Orleans being a tourist city, more media people have probably been there. 2 Michelin stars. Everybody loves Emerald. I think that's going to be, I would love to see it, but I think that's going to be hard. You know, the one that kind of occurs to me is I really think June Rodil has a shot for outstanding professional in beverage service. Again, this is a woman who's achieved a lot. You know, she's a master sommelier. She had success in Austin. She moved to Houston. Now she's the CEO of Good Night Hospitality. So she's got that national reputation where she goes to some of these, you know, food and wine events in various places across the country and even around the world. So people know her. And again, I don't know as much about the other nominees, who I'm sure are all very worthy in their own right. But June being so accomplished and so prominent, of the 6 Houston nominees, I feel like she's maybe got the best shot to bring home a medallion. And that would be obviously very exciting.
I'm excited for anybody from Houston that gets to advance and gets a medallion for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to topic number 2. Just briefly, I want to note that Filipino restaurant Be More Pacific has closed after 6 years in the Heights. You know, this is a restaurant that had an interesting history. It started as a food truck in Austin. Then they opened a brick and mortar in Austin. Then they opened a second location in Houston. The Austin location went away in the early days of the pandemic. And the Houston location seemed to catch on. They were on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri. They hosted an annual Olympia eating contest that was always very well attended. And just from my couple of meals there over the years, it always seemed like a party. They had the karaoke rooms, that really nice indoor-outdoor bar and patio, and a pretty compelling menu of very tasty Filipino food. So really surprised to see that this has all come to an end, at least for now. But Mary, I don't know, do you have any thoughts on Be More Pacific?
Well, not particularly. I will admit I had never gone here. I do think that in the past 6 years, there has been an explosion of, you know, offerings in the Heights. So I think if you're relying heavily on Heights residents and nearby areas, they have more options. So I think, you know, the landscape has become more competitive and people like the new kid on the block and all the normal things. I'm always sad to see anyone go. It is a very difficult business. So 6 years is a good run, but I'm sure they feel it's not long enough, and sad to see them go.
No, I think that's fair. And I will say that in some ways, I kind of think Be More Pacific kind of paved the way for some of these more ambitious Asian-inspired concepts, because it kind of proved that you could have an audience for that kind of food in the Heights, right? Like, you know, before it opened,
Heights loves Asian foods.
Yeah, but I don't think that was obvious when they opened in 2019, right? Like, I really think that this was more of a, now you have June and you have Agnes and Sherman and you have Hand M Barbecue and you have Ka Sushi and you have like more ramen shops than I care to count. But at the time, I don't think it was necessarily obvious that the Heights would be receptive to this. And of course, you know, as you said, the Heights has exploded. It's become a destination for dining in the same way that, you know, Montrose, River Oaks, the Galleria are. And again, that wasn't necessarily the case back in 2019. So credit to the Be More Pacific guys for kind of taking a risk. Sorry that it ended abruptly and too soon, but you know, that's a veteran crew and I'm sure they'll be back with something soon.
Absolutely.
And then topic number three, we don't need to go too far into the weeds on this, but Julep has been named the number 84 bar in North America on the list of North America's 50 best bars. This is recognition that, that Julep has earned before. They were number 46 in 2022. Bandista made this list last year and they haven't announced 1 to 50 yet. So we're, I'm fingers crossed that Bandista manages to stick around, but this is unusual recognition. There's only one other bar in Texas so far, Nickel City in Austin, to make this list. So Mary, I'm just going to say something nice about Julep.
I love Julep. I think it was early, you know, it was an early new wave cocktail bar that we've had in Houston, especially for this part of Washington Avenue. It was definitely is a definite destination, but when it opened, it was definitely a place, you know, I would venture to specifically for Julep. They always do their Kentucky Derby party, which is a lot of fun. They've always had a pretty decent happy hour as well. And it's just it's a pretty space, you know, it's got lower drop ceilings. I'm always a sucker for any bar that feels more intimate, and it's got that gorgeous, you know, they don't use it as a raw bar, but it looks, you know, all the beautiful ice displayed in front. It's a go-to, right? It's no longer a new kid on the block, but it's a stalwart and one that's been around a long time, and I'm happy as part of our cocktail landscape.
No, I agree with all that. Alba Huerta, the owner of Julep, again, like June Rodil, has been very smart about building a public profile and traveling nationally and internationally to kind of talk about all the good work that she's doing and participating in the right organizations. And Julep has become, like Bandista, a destination for visiting bartenders from some of the world's best cocktail bars to do pop-ups and sort of bring that, you know, the very best, some of the very best bars in the world. We get to experience that in Houston because of their reputations and because that they draw this kind of talent into Houston. So that's very much appreciated. And the one other thing that I like about Julep is that it continues to evolve. You know, Alba's had this kind of flex space, this additional room. At one point it was storage. At one point it was like an area for private events. And now she's turned it into the parlor with its own menu and its own decor and its own atmosphere. And I think that's really great. You know, like use that space. You know, now you can have three distinct experiences. There's the main bar at Julep. There's the patio that's kind of behind the main bar. And then there's the parlor. So, you know, I think that's how you stay relevant. That's how you keep people engaged. That's how you keep people coming back in a part of town that, you know, isn't necessarily the busiest for drinking and dining. You know, you've got B&B Butchers across the street, and after that, it's pretty thin. So credit to Julep.
It's a destination for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a destination.
Especially World Cup coming up and all of that. I think she's going to be able to draw so much from that. And being close to downtown, you know, that was a risk when she did that, and it paid off. And I like that it's a destination to go to, and she's done such a good job with the program.
Absolutely. All right, Mary, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Mary, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Latuli. This is Brian Caswell's restaurant in Memorial. Obviously, we've talked about Latuli quite a bit. It was one of the best new restaurants to open last year. It was on the Texas Monthly Best New Restaurant list. Brian and his business partner, Allison, have been on the show. But it's coming up on a year. And we had the opportunity to dine there recently. And I just thought it was a nice chance to kind of check in and see what we think of Lutuli as it kind of settles into its groove a little bit.
Oh boy, it's yummy. This isn't your and my, we do not frequent this neck of the woods, as they say, but Bar Bluedorn, Lutuli, I think this neighborhood is so thrilled to have some fine dining options and for people that live in Memorial and nearby to not have to leave their neighborhood to come, you know, inside the loop or elsewhere for this elevated of a meal. Brian Caswell is definitely happy to be in the kitchen. You can just tell he had so much pride when he, you know, talked with us tableside. I was also there for lunch a couple of weeks ago, so I've been able to experience lunch and dinner, which has been really nice. And, you know, this man knows how to cook some seafood. I think all of the food he's doing there is very good, but it just brings me back to the memories of Reef and that this is a Gulf Coast chef, right? And so seafood shines under him, and it did not disappoint the night that we had dinner.
No, I agree with all of that. As you said, we are known quantities when we go to Lutuli. I've known Brian for a long time, so have you. But, you know, we were there as paying customers, like just ordering what we wanted. And we kind of did like the grand tour, trying to hit some of the highlights of the menu just to kind of check in. And I mean, I was very impressed by everything. I mean, those yeast rolls with the jalapeno jelly and the cornbread and the sorghum butter. I mean, that's quietly become one of my favorite bread services around town. You know, shrimp spring rolls. I mean, again, that's kind of a Reef classic, just crunchy, delicious. You know, what's not to like? The seared snapper with the sweet and sour Swiss chard. I mean, you can't really go wrong. And, you know, and then we had a steak, you know, nicely cooked, a big bone-in ribeye. There's a lot to like about what's going on at this restaurant. And we have conversations with people and they're like, oh, you know, he's playing the hits, or he's resting on his laurels, or he's doing this, or he's doing that. It's like, I mean, those dishes have been tweaked over time. They've evolved into, you know, fan favorites and things people really want to eat. And I mean, when you create recipes that people want to buy, like, why wouldn't you sell them to them? You know, like, it just doesn't, that criticism just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, this is very craveable food. And, you know, we were there on a weeknight and it was full. I mean, the dining room was full, the patio was full, the bar was lively. The neighborhood has really embraced this place. Am I going to commit and say this is a top 10 Houston restaurant? Like, that may be a little too far. Is it a top 25 Houston restaurant? I think it probably is, just for the scale of it and how crowd pleasing and big that menu is and how beautiful the dining room is. It's a great experience. Still one of my absolute favorite new restaurants that opened in Houston last year.
I feel like, you know, what's kind of nice about this place is it feels, I think more than ever, people crave experiences, but this building almost feels like it's like obviously a grand house, right? A memorial level.
Yeah, like a
house.
Hacienda, you know, like a.
Yes, for sure. Like, it's absolutely stunning, super high ceilings, lots of mirrors that open up the space, big central fireplace, which is kind of funny. Like, it's great right now, but I'm like, are y'all going to keep this on during August? I mean, anyway, it's just, I'm kind of kidding, but it's such a pretty restaurant, and the indoors and outdoors, the covered patio and everything, it feels, even though it's enormous in scale, it feels cozy. And the service level was incredibly good. Like, the hospitality we received by the staff, like, none of us waited for anything. And I was watching the dining room. I'm always looking around. Like, that was the same for everybody. Just really attentive staff and very welcoming feeling. And I feel like, you know, keeping up with the pace of openings in this town is difficult for us sometimes. But I do think the places that people will come back to time and time again is where they feel welcome and at home. And this place checks those boxes.
Right. And I think just that it was so busy on a weeknight just shows the extent to which the area has really embraced this place. This is their new place to go, place to see friends, place to have a good meal, place to celebrate a special occasion. And it's a real testament to Brian and Allison and everybody else at that place that they've created that in less than a year.
100%. And I can't, you know, I want to go back at different times of year, see how the menu evolves. And it's a big menu, so multiple visits for people who want to try out different things. So there's still things to look forward to for both you and I to try that we haven't had.
Yeah. I mean, I still haven't been in for brunch. I haven't had lunch there yet. I haven't tried the burger. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of things I want to go back and try. And it had been a while since I'd been there. So it was nice to see. It was nice to see that it's doing well. It's nice to see that it's busy and I could go back. I could go back and eat that snapper dish tonight.
A snapper dish was incredible. It literally brought me back to his days at Hotel Icon with Jean-Georges. I was like, damn. I mean, to take a bite of fish and it transport me back to literally, I don't know, 22, 23 years ago is insane.
Yeah, when you were like 7 or 8.
Exactly. Exactly. Correct. No, a college student for sure.
All right. Mary, anything else to say about Latuli?
I think that covers it for now, at least.
Then I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be David Anderson III and Dominic Lee.